sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious 'tis that grace appeared the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toil and snares, how grace have brought me through. And grace when grief have been there thousand years, bright shining as the sun, we know less days to sing God's grace than when we first begun. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. Well, I have kind of a different message. I would call this an illustrative message. If you look just here on the altar, there's a blueprint, and this is kind of a significant blueprint. And since my family's here, I didn't really plan this because they would be here, but I really think that there's a blueprint or a plan for our lives today. God has a plan for our life. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a season. Everything has a plan. So there was a blueprint for you before the foundation of the world. There was a blueprint with you sitting here this morning before the foundation of the world that God had us in mind. He saw us way before the cross and knows that we're here today and what we're going through. This isn't just any blueprint, because this blueprint is the original blueprint of what was Grace Pentecostal Tabernacle in Bakersfield, California, a building that my grandfather built after being kind of kicked out of a legal organization. God showed him the grace of God, and he began to preach it in his church, and they kicked him out. He moved to Bakersfield and was in a storefront, bought some property, and then they built this church. And it was on that corner from 1947 when my grandfather pastored, and then my dad pastored after him, and then Pam and I pastored after them. The building stands today, but it has been sold, and it's an apostolic Hispanic church that you can't even get inside. It's just going on for the Lord. But I just wanted to see this, wanted you to see this, because the scripture tells us that some things are visual, some things we hear, some things we have to go through, some things we just have to trust and believe God that He's doing it. And so Maybe you don't know this, maybe you do, but your pastor, Brother Gene Hawkins, and his brother, Brother Jerry Hawkins, were both saved in this building in 1948 at the age of 7. And, you know, I was thinking, Lord, this is really, he not only connects the dots, but he puts all things together. God does everything perfectly. Now, from my perspective, looking around, I don't always see that every day. It's not always a perfect world. It's not always a perfect plan. It's not always the way I would call the shots. But I have to look up and say, God, your plan is still perfect. For 37 years, we pastored in Bakersfield. And over, I would tell our people, the plan of God is perfect. And something would happen. And people would come to me, well, why did this happen? Why did that happen? You know, some of what happens is because we're just in this body, this tabernacling hut that just walks around. Grandpa used to say, we're walking around just to save funeral expenses. We're here, and everything in this life isn't always as perfect as we would want, but it doesn't change the plan of God. It doesn't change the plan that he's perfecting in each one of us. If we get into this gold mine that we have, you got to tap into the reservoir of this word. You got to tap into this gold mine, not just to find nuggets, but there'll be pockets and there'll be just complete finds that God will illuminate in your life through the power of his word. We live and move and have our being because of the word of God. When you're more into his word and know that his word is perfect and that his plan is perfect, then you'll see things in life in a different light. We see things through the light of his word. Our steps are ordered of the Lord. The menu that God has planned for you is just going to come to pass, and he's going to take you through. God will bring us through. I said it last week, but I'm going to say it again. I'm not preaching what I heard. I'm preaching what I know. And I know God is faithful. I know his plan is perfect. And I know he's brought me through. And he's continuing to bring us through. So what is this blueprint or plan for your life? What is this design? This is a non-computerized scale. This was drawn when they used to use rulers. And my brother bought me an antique level for my birthday. And that era may have been used in this building. I don't know. But whether it was or whether it is or whether it will be, God still has a plan for our life. There's something that's such a great design that God has for each one of us. And I'm not talking about pumping up the flesh and you're going to go and do great things. And that's a given if you know the word of God. If you do great things, you're going to do them in him. You're going to do them by the power of his word. You're going to see the things that happen, the things that Jesus did. He said, so also you shall do. And so we just keep going and we keep moving. But sometimes we need this guide. As we don't worship a building, we worship a builder. He's the master builder. And he's done a plan. He's done something in me that has been orchestrated. Should be dead. It shouldn't be alive. Shouldn't be walking or talking, and let alone preaching the word of God, remembering the word. But that's not anything natural. That's a supernatural power that is only given by the Holy Ghost. When we remember the word of God, when things are hardwired spiritually, that can never be taken. Your salvation was hardwired at the cross. Hardwired. That means that there's not going to be a break or a failure point in that line of the blood of Jesus. There's not going to be a break. We see a lot of failure points. I saw this morning in our PA system. And I'm like praying in the Holy Ghost back there. Come on. This has to work today. And so it was an unplugged plug. Do this, do that. Voila, it came up. A lot of failure points in the natural, aren't there? But there is no failure point with God. When we see him and we see him clearly in the work he's doing in our life, there isn't a point of failure. Man is teaching today that your salvation can fail. It was never my salvation to begin with. Even the joy, it's the joy of his salvation. His gift to me. It's not anything I could merit or do, but his gift to me. When we had our building listed in California, I had calls from people that hadn't been to church in 11 dozen years. Why are you selling the building? Why are you selling? And then people, even that were there, they were so torn and sad. And I preached a message. I said, we can't worship the building. We have to worship the builder. We worship the building. We can get out on the street and have the same impact we have in here. We don't worship the building. We take care of it. This building has been well taken care of, but we still worship the builder over the building. So we have a real plan for our life when God begins to work in how he orchestrates things. When we started here, I didn't start here spiritually, but it really was a turning point in my life. And I met the love of my life at Bible college, because my mom, when I left, she goes, you'll get married either back there or you'll come back here and get married. You'll meet somebody there, because she called it the matrimonial bureau. In the day, you went to Bible college. Well, why not? You're on the same page with somebody. You're connected. And it was a great thing. Soon to be 40 years. God orchestrated that. He had that blueprint in mind. He had that in store for us. But the whole thing is so that we could serve him. So we could serve and worship him. And so I want to just turn to a few portions of scripture. Brother Hawkins said to keep it under 1 o'clock, so I'll try. Look at Jeremiah 18, because the blueprint or the clay plan. Sometimes some people are still on the clay plan. I mean, you feel beat up. You feel like you're spinning out of control. All I ever do is just get slap, slap, slap. One time my daughter called and she goes, can we just catch a break? Can we just catch a break? You know, and you just think how good it is when you're in fellowship with the Lord. You know, a lot of times the way we feel when we're spinning out of control is because we haven't allowed God to take control. He's working and molding and shaping and doing a work. But in Jeremiah 18, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord as said, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Now, how many have been through something, let's say in 2019 or even 2020, you've been through something that kind of, not just the top 10, but you're like, this was a biggie. You can put your hands up if you, nobody been through anything? Come on, don't make me feel all alone. It's one of those things where we have to go to the potter's house. We have to go where we're going to be molded and shaped. The body of Christ today, many times the body is raising up spiritual, not just robots, but spoiled Christians. Because we expect all this to happen, rose garden mentality, nothing wrong is ever going to come my way. But if you go to the potter's house, and if you've ever visited the potter's house, and you just kind of put yourself up on this wheel, you'll understand. He said he went down and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. So there was something that was on the wheel already, literally a clay pot at this potter's house. But you know that I'm the clay pot today. And there have been times in my life where I feel like I'm just spinning out of control, like I'm on that wheel and there's no tomorrow. But when we allow God to begin to work, when we allow him to do the work in our life, it says that the vessel that he made of clay in verse 4 was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel. Now think of that. When we came to Jesus Christ and accepted him as our heart, as personal Savior, we had been sinners, we were lost, but then we were found, or we were saved. Amen? Everybody good with that? Amen. Much like this clay, he made it into another vessel. When God begins to work on us, and that's why, like I said last Sunday, if you don't have a revelation of the two creations in your life, This is something that is base camp. You'll never understand eternal life. You'll never understand ranks or the bride unless you know the two natures, that there is that clay part of you that is just, that will spin out of control if allowed. But then God begins to come in and mold you and shape you. He makes of you another vessel, just like this wheel of the potter. I was in Bible school, we had three roommates, and the one guy he was a potter. And so he had the wheel. He'd bring stuff in our room, and I'm like, really? Do you know that's going to splatter all over everywhere? And he's just like, no, just wait, I'll be careful. Well, it was an ugly process, and I could have never done it because I tried one time, and mine was just like, I think it went up on the ceiling or something. But he began to mold and shape, and then he put that clay in the kiln, in the fire. Something changed in the dynamics of that clay when it was heated by fire. Now, this is what he said. He made it another vessel. It seemed good to the potter to make it. Do you know, I know the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. But there's something in us called the new creation, the new man that holds or houses any part of anything that could be good in you. There's nothing good in your flesh. There's only goodness in the Lord Jesus Christ, that new creation. But here's the plan to mold and shape us, not for us to crumble and fail. A lot of people feel like they're crumbling and failing or spinning out of control. When you're on that potter's wheel, that's the time of molding and shaping. And then get ready, because the heat of trials will come. He didn't say he was going to take us through and just leave us there. He's taken us through for purpose. It's for his grace and purpose that we go through anything. I can't think of anything I haven't been through that I haven't met someone down the road that's going through something similar that I've said, wow, you know what? I know how to pray, kind of. I don't know exactly how you feel, but I feel like I can pray. We were on our walk yesterday, my brother and I, and we met a gal, and she's, oh, I'm so sorry about your neck. Oh, because I wear a C-collar when I drive or do anything supposed to. And so she said, I'm so sorry. And I went, well, you know, that's my testimony, part of it. I said, well, God really has touched my neck. And so I told her about sitting in church and how that headache was so horrible and it's just bone on bone and I shouldn't even be able to turn my neck. And I said, but God took that. I had to go through some fire, but through it all, He's become the reality of my life. That clay that is in the fire is refined and formed, but then it's like gold. When you come out, it's pure. There's something that falls away, something that's purified that comes forth as pure. And then the word of the Lord came to me in verse 5 of Jeremiah 18. He said, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Says the Lord. See, we don't always see the hand of the potter on the clay of our life. If we would see the hand of God in everything that happens, our lives would be different. We would see things differently. If we thought, okay, Lord, this is not my deal. This is not my idea of a perfect plan, but it has to be if you're allowing it. It has to be if you're doing it. It has to be because you're going to see me through it. And you're going to make a way. House of Israel. Then he said, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If God did that for Israel, how much more will he do for us today? How much more does he want to mold and shape? You know, we can't be this come and go Christian in the house of God. And our pastor friend in India called it hi, bye. When you come in the house of God, hi, everybody, and then you have a service, bye, everybody, and in between, there's nothing that happens. We've got to dig. We've got to be on that potter's wheel every day and say, Lord, mold me and shape me into the image of your dear son. You're gonna tweak me. You're gonna turn me, but I'm not going to spin out of control. You're going to mold me. You're going to shape me, but it's to become something greater for you. So some people are in the clay plan. If you're in the clay plan today, it's not a bad place to be. But you know, there's another piece of scripture, Proverbs 16:7. If you're in the peace plan, we hear a lot about peace, don't we, today? But I want this peace that comes to my heart. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord. When a man's ways please the Lord. And I know people are trying to please people, and there are a lot of people that are seeking approval. Pastor did a great message on who we seek for approval. His name is Jesus. But a lot of people are still seeking the approval of others, seeking that approval like they have to measure up or do something like somebody did. We have to be our own in Him. We're all different. Again, DNA, divinely not alike. But he said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. I like the peace plan. I like this peace plan. I'm not talking about world peace. I'm talking about inner peace. I'm talking about this kind of peace, this blueprint of peace in God's word. You can be so at unrest and get into the word of God, and there's this rest that begins to come. There's a rest, and it really is, according to Philippians 4:7, there is a peace that passes all understanding. Guard your heart, keeps your mind. So I have to give up my right to try to understand everything. Everything. People are trying to understand everything. Well, there won't be peace there. I give up my right to understand so the peace of God can flow in me. I don't understand things that are going on. I didn't understand why my daughter had to cancel her trip for Daddy's birthday and flee from her own home that might burn down. I didn't get it, but she's safe. I mean, all the frill, I don't care about that, but she's safe. This is peace that passes understanding. We can get ourselves all worked up, but how do you get into that peace that passes understanding? When people are giving you this report and that report, like I said last week, a mixed message is the same as a lie. And we're hearing a lot of mixed messages today. That's the same as a lie, but we've got to have the peace with Him. That's the peace that passes understanding. Has God ever kept you in perfect peace because your mind is stayed on Him? You get your mind stayed on Him, and you'll have peace that passes understanding. The faith plan is a plan. This faith plan really works. I don't know about you, but I've been on a faith plan for a while, like 65 years, because I just believe God. I just believe Him. All things are possible. And I used to think, you know, people ask kind of stupid requests for this and that. I'm like, you're not even asking for the impossible. All things are possible to them that believe. But we haven't asked for the impossible. But in the faith plan, it's just simply 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. All of us are different learners. Some people have to see it to understand. Some people have to hear it to understand. Some people have to speak it to understand. And some people have to write it to understand. I'm going to tell you this morning, God's got you covered. According to the scripture in 1 Corinthians 2, 9. He said, but as it is written. And if we could ever get back to as it is written. Not brother so-and-so said. Not sister Susie said. It's as it is written. This is where we have to go. Thus saith the Lord. Chapter and verse. I told you last week, if it's not, just file it in the circular file and move on. Don't worry about it. Get it from the Word of God. He says, but as it is written, eye has not seen. So the faith plan really works with your eye, with what we see. There are things that we've seen today that we thought we would never see. Amen? We see things, well, I can't believe that. If you watch the news and don't just check the news, you're going to see things that you wish you hadn't seen. But eye has not seen, neither has your ear heard. There's something about hearing. And we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So if you really want faith, you've got to hear the Word. If you tracked and trended everything that you heard in the course of a day, think of your life tomorrow morning getting up and hitting the record button. Everything you said, everything you heard, was recorded. Please don't bring it to church. We're not going to play it back. But everything you hear, how does that impact your life? It changes things. It changes the dynamics of our life because we hear things that aren't according to the Word of God. We hear things that aren't faith. We hear things that are untrue. And we hear things that are just wrong. I hate to read the little license plate frame. I'm just like, oh, Lord, don't let me read that one. Because it kind of gets stuck, you know, and you see something, and then you read it. But he said, eyes not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared, the blueprint that God has planned for your life. You haven't seen it yet. You haven't heard it yet. You haven't touched it yet. This is the thing, the unseen, unheard, unentered plan of God. This is faith. Where I take a step tomorrow, I don't see anything happening, but I go ahead and take that step of faith because I believe God. I just believe Him because He's in control. There's too much confirmation that's happened in my life that this word is true. This word is what we need. And so if you're a visual, if you're a spoken learner, whatever kind of learner you are, it hasn't even tapped into our life. We haven't seen or heard or even know the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. When we look at these things, do you love Him this morning? If you love Him, you'll understand Romans 8:28, that all these things are working together because we love Him. He's not working against you. He's not going to just knock you off the potter's wheel and say, next. He loves you and He's going to continue to work with you. But we've got to take this verse 10. We've got to see that He said, but God. I may not have seen the ultimate of what God is doing in my life, but look at this. God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. And the only way we get anything revealed to us by His Spirit is to get into the Word of God where we have something to be revealed. I'm not talking about some TV show that you can solve. This is a mystery that's revealed. This is a mystery that once we see, once we hear, once we know, God reveals it to our hearts. I worked for an Adventist hospital, and they used to tell me, if you just get on your knees and pray, God will reveal all this that you're not supposed to do. And I would say, why would God reveal what I'm not supposed to do? I don't go by rules and regulations. I go by my relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not a book of rules. This is a blueprint. This is a plan for my life. This is something that I have to take every day and say, okay, Lord, what's up today? What are we doing? I just want to bring Him glory. I just want to bring Him honor every day. Presenting my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. You know, that word just means logical. It's the most logical thing for us to do, to present our body to Him. He's given everything He had for us. Now we just present ourselves to Him. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. There are people that feel like they're really deep. You know, but I think they've just dug a hole. If I can teach and preach the simplicity that is in Christ, I'm deep. If you can get it, I'm deep. The Word of God that is preached and understood, if you can take something home, that's deep. But if I get real theological with you and tell you about the hermeneutics class that I passed barely, and all these things that happen, that doesn't help, does it? We're real people dealing with real issues in a real world, but we serve a real God. We serve a true and living God. Abraham had something. We can walk in the Abraham plan. He had a great blueprint in his life, didn't he? And God took him to places that I'm sure he never realized would even be in his life. But God was with him every step of the way. Look at Hebrews 11. There's a scripture here that as we think about blueprints and plans, Abraham had such faith. The Bible says that we should walk in the steps of faith that Abraham walked in. He was our father of faith. We should walk in those kinds of steps. But here in Hebrews 11:10, it says, for he looked for a city. He was looking. That means that Abraham had his eyes up. He had his heart up. He had his ears up. The volume was turned up. I think the volume of the world sometimes is so loud that we can't hear the volume of the Word of God. And it changes our life. But Abraham looked for a city that didn't have a foundation, or that had a foundation. Now, I can tell you this church on the corner of Chico and Beale, the foundation was poured. They kind of overdid. But it survived the earthquake of 1951 or two. Didn't rattle the building down. By the time we're ready to sell the building, we were praying the termite prayer. I said, we got to pray that these termites, if they have wings, hold those wings together, because this thing's coming down if those termites don't keep in unity. Looking for something. There was such great work in this building because of the plan of God. The vision of man was great, but it was the plan of God that pulled it off. In your life, your vision is great, but the plan of God will pull it off for you. That exercise of faith, just believing, not demanding. You don't have to be all military and God has to do this and he has to do that. If you just relax and believe him, he'll do more than you can imagine. Just begin to say, Lord, I trust you. I believe your word. You haven't carried me this far to just drop me. You haven't brought me out of so much to bring me into something I can't handle. He's going to bring us through. He's going to see us through. But we've got to see this city. He looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. This is the key this morning. The builder, the one that drew up this blueprint for your life and my life, is God. He has ultimate control. Faith to look forward is a foundational truth. If you have faith today, a lot of people don't have much to look forward to. But if you begin to seek out the Word of God, God will give you something to look forward to. And I'm not talking about a short-term, long-term goal. I'm talking about looking for a city, looking for Him. Now, we're not escapists. We're not thinking, well, just leave all this here and we're going to be taken. Yes, we're going to be translated. That's ex anastasis. We're going to be gone in a minute. And not the twinkle of an eye or the blink of an eye, but the twinkle of an eye. That's faster than a blink. I don't know in nanoseconds or how long that is, but it's faster than a blink. And it could be any moment. But are we looking for that city? Are we looking and living in that foundation of faith? Are we saying, Lord, faith looks forward? Because I've said it before, if we live our life looking in the rearview mirror, that's not faith. You'll spin out of control right off that wheel. Faith looks forward. Faith has something that hopes. Now faith is the evidence of things hoped for. So I need faith right now. I always put the emphasis on now in Hebrews 11. Now faith. Lord, I need it now. Well, he didn't say we couldn't have faith now, but if you don't have your faith tank full of the Word of God, if you haven't heard his word today, if you haven't heard what he's saying in your life, your blueprint's going to look different. It's not going to align itself. We've been called as people of God, sitting together in heavenly places. The acceptance in the beloved is something that a lot of believers don't know. We've been accepted. People are trying to find acceptance in a variety of ways today. That blueprint, that plan is to know we're accepted in Christ Jesus. All these other things can just go away. We still have birthday parties and two cakes. I'm getting another cake today. But it doesn't change the fact that our builder and maker is God. He's the one that is the master builder. He's doing the work in our lives. And I just want to say it again, that faith looks forward. Faith looks forward. So if you don't have a blueprint, you do now. If you never thought you had a plan, you do now. because faith is what it takes today just to get that rolling. And I know because of the street ministry we've been doing on Fridays, I know people are feeling like they're out of control, just spinning out of control. There's loss, there's sorrow, there's heartache, all kinds of things. But we find our place in Jesus Christ. We find our rest in Him. So pick your plan. Clay plan, faith plan, whatever plan, it's all here, and we can just believe God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord.